The first reading is from Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, but there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. And the second reading is from Matthew 15, verses 10 to 20. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into the man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and attitudes of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Well, as you can probably imagine, being a vicar, I get asked all kinds of questions and have all kinds of statements made to me. And one comment that people have quite often said to me is, "I'm not religious." And I always respond to that statement, "Neither am I." People then either look shocked or puzzled. I'm a vicar. Of course, people expect me to be religious. But it all depends on what we mean when we use that phrase, being religious. Because if you search online for the definition of being religious, or just the word religious, many definitions do point to sacred matters, to belief in a God. But they also refer to being religious in terms of health or sport, for example. So a football fan might religiously attend every match their team plays, putting that above any other activity in life. Now, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law in Jesus' time considered themselves to be very religious. For them, being religious meant following all the rules and regulations, not only the Ten Commandments given by God, but also the hundreds of religious traditions that were added over the years to God's Ten Commandments. Our reading today from Matthew's Gospel takes place immediately after the Pharisees have brought an accusation to Jesus concerning his disciples and their hygiene when eating. You see, the Pharisees studied religion. They knew all the rules. They thought they knew all about God. But Jesus exposed that they didn't really know God himself. This is what he said to them in the verses just preceding our passage today. "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. And then Jesus goes on to address the crowd, which is where today's second reading began. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Jesus states clearly that it's what we say or think that makes us unclean, not the food we eat or how we eat it, or indeed what we look like on the outside. This is what he goes on to say. "But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person." Proverbs 4:23 says this, "Above all, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." The way we are deep down, where others can't see, matters so much more to God than what we eat or outward appearances. You see, every word that comes out of our mouth comes from a thought, whether consciously or unconsciously. Fleeting thoughts can determine the quality of our lives. We can choose our thoughts, and we don't have to just think about whatever falls into our minds. Let me give you an example. When I'm driving, if someone cuts me up, my first thought might be, "Stupid driver," or words along those lines. But I have a choice then, to either progress that critical thought and continue thinking negative things about the driver, or I can capture that thought, recognizing that it's very judgmental and it's certainly not honoring to God. So capturing the negative thought, I can immediately apologize to God for my attitude and replace the negative thought with a positive thought, praying for the driver, asking God to be with that driver. You see, we control our thoughts. No one else does. And if we want to grow in godliness, we must win the battle over sin on the thought level. Because primarily, sin is self-centeredness. For God's two great commandments are first, that we love him with all our hearts, and secondly, that we love our neighbours as we love ourselves. But sin is the reversal of this order. Sin has the letter I in the middle. It's to put ourselves first, our neighbour next, and God somewhere in the background. Self-centeredness is evident from the variety of words in our language which are compounded with that word self. For example, words like self-indulgence, self-gratification, self-glorification, self-pity, self-importance, self-interest, self-will. Sin is a result of our hearts being more focused on ourselves and on our desires than on God and his desires. This is why Jesus said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." To deny himself means to say no to yourself and yes to God. To say it differently, the process of denial is to humbly submit your will to God. It is to go through life repeating the words that Jesus said the night before he went to the cross. When he was praying in the garden, he said to God, his Father, "Not my will, but yours be done." It's what millions of Christians have prayed for centuries in the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Rebellion is a refusal to seek God's will, a refusal to seek his mind in all things. Now, we all have feelings, and feelings are important. However, even though feelings are important, we shouldn't allow feelings to direct our behaviour. The approach of a Christian who has the mind of Christ should be, I know what I feel, but I will do what God says to do based on his word, aligning my thoughts with his thoughts before I act. Let me give you an example of how this can be put into practice. If you receive an email or letter from someone that upsets you or makes you feel angry, don't reply to that email or letter instantly. If you reply instantly, you'll be responding from your hurt feelings or your angry feelings. You will be reacting. If it's possible to do this, allow at least 2 sleeps before you reply. 1 sleep isn't enough. Leave a minimum 48 hours before replying, because then that gives time for God, for you to seek his wisdom and counsel, and for God to minister to your hurt feelings or your anger, and for you to seek God for his grace to act and respond in a way that honours him, so that you can then reply in a Christ-like way. You see, our minds are like gardens. If a gardener plants wheat, he will get wheat. If he plants an apple tree, he will get apples. Whatever you plant is what you get. This is what it says in Galatians. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. It's impossible for any person to sow the flesh and get a spiritual harvest. God has given us all the ability to control what we sow and thereby control what we harvest. We all need to examine our hearts, our minds, and our thoughts. Jesus said, this will come on to the next slide in a minute. There it goes. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Our mouths speak what our hearts are full of. Our characters, our attitudes, our actions, our speech all show the kind of fruit that we're bearing. Let me ask you a question this morning. I don't expect you to answer. Would you describe yourself, or indeed would other people describe you, as a drain or a radiator? So what do I mean by that? Well, for example, when things are happening in the church that you're not happy about, or perhaps people behave in ways that you're not happy with, do you behave like a drain? Do you moan and groan about those things or people, perhaps even gossip about them to other members of the church, or even to people who don't attend church? Or do you behave like a radiator? Do you turn to God and ask him to help you with the things and people you're finding difficult? Do you try and radiate God's love into situations? Or do you find yourself, more often than not, allowing the sins of gossip, all the complaining and disagreeing, to drain away the joy, the peace, and the love that Jesus gives us. Jesus says it's by our love for one another that the world will know that we are his disciples. Do we want to be likened to an awful drain, or do we want to be recognized as a radiator? God doesn't want us to be growing negative, draining attitudes. God wants us to produce fruits of love, fruits of forgiveness, fruits of acceptance. The psalm we had today included these words: how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. God blesses unity. Do you want God to bless us? Then we must be united. The opposite of unity is division, and division is the territory of the devil, who loves to cause conflict, especially in churches. In April this year, over 40 of us from the CSK family went to the Christian Family Conference Spring Harvest. We're going again next year. If you want to join us, you're very welcome to do so. The theme of Spring Harvest this year was unity. And one of the evening speakers was the Archbishop of York, the Right Reverend John Sentamu. He gave an excellent talk on the theme of unity. And one of the things he said that remains very, very, very clear in my mind was, church, grow up. Actually, the Archbishop didn't say those words. He actually shouted those words at us over the microphone. I'm not going to do it today because it'll make you jump, but he shouted, church, grow up. You see, church isn't about us. It's about him. Church should be what God wants, not what we want. God's economy is not only different than ours, it's also so much higher. He is completely holy. We are not. We see partially. He sees perfectly. Growing up means stopping being selfish, stopping being critical, stopping being negative. It means submitting to God. The things we tend to value by our nature are not the things that are on God's priority list. We need a new way of thinking. We all need renewed minds. The Bible specifically talks about three things we must do to develop a mind that agrees with God. First, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. That's from Colossians chapter 3. Secondly, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That's from Romans chapter 12. And thirdly, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindsets as Christ Jesus. The only way to make a stream pure is to purify the fountain. And the only way to deal with our sin is by having our hearts cleansed by God. Picture coming up here. There it is. And the only way to deal with our sin is by having our hearts cleansed by God, inviting God, the Holy Spirit, to renew us and transform us from within by the power of the Spirit and his word. God changes us so that we become new creations. Do you want to be renewed? I know I do. Then come to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Coming to him isn't a religious act. It's about faith and a real relationship. Jesus alone has the power to purify our hearts. And we're going to allow him to do that now. We're going to have a time of silence where we allow God the Holy Spirit to just come to our hearts and minds to remind us of things perhaps that we've done or said or thought that we want to confess to him. And then after a time of silence, if you're able to stand, would you stand as we're led in the song, Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver, as we sing that song as a prayer. So we'll have a few moments of silence and then we will sing that song as a prayer.